The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12, I want to talk to you this morning for the time remaining. Do you have space for grace in your life? Do you have space for grace in your life? 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to read in verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee." I submit to you this morning that we all have spaces, gaps in our lives in which we need grace to fill those gaps, to fill those spaces. I'll tell you this, that in order to effectively deal with the things that we face in this life, if we're not filling those spaces with grace, it's going to be filled with something else. I want you to notice who is writing here. It's the Apostle Paul. And we're picking up right in the middle of his dissertation, his preaching to the Corinthians, in which he has rehearsed in the previous chapter all of the many trials and tribulations that he had faced. And then coming into verse 12, he begins to tell them about a time when God actually took him, either in body or in spirit. He could not really tell, but God took him to the third heaven, or to heaven, to see some things that he says was not lawful for him to utter. It doesn't mean that he didn't know what they were. It just says God's not permitting him to tell what he saw. That would be extremely lifting up to an individual, wouldn't it? As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, something like that could ruin an individual. You'd be no more earthly good, as the saying goes, if you saw what was in heaven. Well, Paul saw what was in heaven, and it caused him, eventually, when he got back down to earth, whether body or spirit, he doesn't know. But when he came back down to himself after that experience, he began to be prideful, thinking about, hey, I'm the only person on the face of the earth that has seen the things that I have seen. I'll tell you right now, as believers of truth, we can become prideful. And we can think, well, we're the only ones that see the truth, or we're the only ones that understand the truth. That can turn you into a prideful, worthless individual. And as primitive Baptists, I think that's something that we have experienced in years gone by. Well, we got the truth and you don't. We're right and you're wrong. That is a prideful, ineffective way to spread the truth of God's word and to experience the truth of God's word. That's what was going on with Paul. Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that he saw," it says, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, first of all, let me just follow as a scriptorian, as an English language reader, let's follow what Paul says here. First of all, he does not say that this thorn in the flesh came from God. This thorn in the flesh did not come from God. It says it was a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Now, this right here is a great lesson for us to understand about the workings of Satan. And Satan is the greatest button pusher on the face of this earth. He will look for the buttons in you to push, and Satan is like a 13 or 14-year-old teenage boy, young man, excuse me. They have no sieve. They have no governor. They just keep pushing, you know, they just keep it. I don't mean in a bad way. You know, that I remember I was once that age, and I joke with my brother, Brother Chris. He talks about his son Mason, who he has no governor. You know, he'll start a joke and just keep it going and keep it going until you finally just say, stop, you know. No governor to stop. That's the way that, I'm not saying that Mason is Satan now, although that does rhyme. But in the same way that at some points in our lives we don't know when to stop, and I'm throwing some hints over here on this side of the room, you know. I'm not going to even look that way, so Asher will not know that I'm talking about him. But you understand, Satan, unlike somebody in their teenage years who doesn't know when to stop, who doesn't know when to quit on whatever they're joking with or whatever buttons they're pushing, Satan will never stop pushing that button. I mean, he's just endless on pushing the buttons in you that he knows you have. He said, well, I don't have any buttons, Brother Tim. That he's pushing your button right there by saying that. I don't have any buttons. You've got buttons all over the place that Satan can push. And the best thing that you can experience in this life is to know what your buttons are. You need to pray and ask God to show you what buttons that you have that can be pushed so easily. It might be anger. It might be frustration. It might be malice. It might be wanting revenge. It might be depression. There's so many buttons that we have, and Satan is the master button pusher. So what happened here was Satan saw an opportunity. And so you know what he did? This thorn in the flesh came along. It's the messenger of Satan. Now listen, we don't need to concern ourselves necessarily with what this thorn in the flesh was for Paul. He doesn't say what it was, so we don't really need to know what it was. But we need to know and learn from this that we all have them. We all have the thorns in the flesh, do we not? Now listen, the definition of a thorn is a pointed piece of wood or a splinter. You ever got a splinter in your finger and it just festered and festered there for days upon end? I mean, in years before we had antibiotic ointment, you know, I'm sure there were people that got infections and things like that. But a thorn or something in your shoe, a pebble, you know, I run on a regular basis, try to. I run a lot slower than I used to. But every now and then I'll get a pebble in my shoe, and I'll think, as soon as I feel it in there, I don't want to stop because I'm usually timing myself, and I'll think, you know, it'll probably shift over and I'll just run on through it. And the next thing you know, it's just worse and worse until I finally just have to stop and get that pebble out of my shoe because it's a thorn literally in my foot. You've been in the woods, you've gotten stuck with a briar, you maybe got stuck with a thorn. Those things hurt. Sister Tracy asked me to get a thorn out of her finger not too long ago, and it was very difficult to see. You know, have to cut in there, and she's hooping and hollering, you know. Thorns in the flesh are not pleasant things. And Paul says it was a messenger of Satan. We all have thorns in the flesh. Something pointy that sticks in us. And it just makes us uncomfortable, or at the least, it makes us uncomfortable. At the worst, it's a constant pain that we just cannot get over. So you know what Paul did? Paul besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him. So picture Paul getting down on his knees and dealing with this thorn. You think about your thorns. You think about those pointy things in your life that just continue to press you and poke you and hurt you. You think about those things. And Paul sought the Lord three times. And the Lord says, apparently on the third time, he says, my grace is sufficient. Paul, I have given you what you need to deal with this thorn from Satan. What is it? It's grace. It's grace. So Paul had a gap in his life. He had a space in his life. You say, Paul had it made. He saw Jesus. He was in the presence of the Lord. You know, you say, well, Paul, yeah, he had it made from a grace standpoint, but he went through a lot of troubles. He rehearses some of those troubles in the previous chapter, beaten with rods, stoned, suffered shipwreck, a night and the day he'd been in the deep, journeyings, perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen. And that's not even the thorn in the flesh. You hear me? He wasn't even naming the thorn in the flesh right there. So whatever this thorn in the flesh was, Paul had a gap. He had a space, and he's praying to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I can't deal with this pressing, pointy, damaging, and hurtful thing in my life. And so, Lord, take it away from me. Isn't that what we all want? Yes, we do. I'll amen that for you. Yes, we want our pressing, pointy, hurtful things that stick in us. We just want them taken away, do we not? But there's sometimes that you see, and people get frustrated when they're not taken away. Lord, just take it away. You know, we look at God, as I've said before, like a genie. And you rub the genie, you know, rub the lamp so the genie will grant you your wish and take away whatever problem that is. But God's not a genie. And if God never did one other thing for any person on the face of the earth, I submit to you that he has done enough just by saving us by his grace. See, when you get that in your head, let me tell you something. A proper understanding of grace is an essential thing that you need, that God's children need, to deal with the trials and tribulation and thorns of this life. And I tell you that without seeing grace in its purest form, which is what the Word of God teaches. It's not grace plus what you do, grace plus a decision that you make, or grace plus accepting Jesus, or grace plus praying a prayer, or grace plus being baptized, or grace plus what, how many good works you can build up in your life. I'm telling you, grace is not grace unless it is left alone in the body of Jesus Christ. You cannot see grace. You cannot appreciate grace until you see what Christ has done for you by grace. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person, Brother Tim, and that's why the Lord saved me. Wrong. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that you were no one and nobody and a ruined, dead sinner that didn't even care about God. And God saved you by His grace. See, how could God look upon something like that? Yeah, you know, we want to say, how could God look upon old John Doe over here? You know, you need to say, how could God look upon me? How could God look upon that miserable sinner in the mirror that I see every day and save me? The answer is grace. You didn't deserve it. It's an unmerited favor. And I'm telling you, the grace that God displayed to you on the cross when He died for your sins is enough grace, it's sufficient grace to help you deal with anything in this life. Amen. It's exactly the answer that God gave Paul. Do you think... Let me just explain to you real quick why it is so important for you to believe the truth of grace. Do you realize how many misunderstandings there are about grace and about God out there in the world today? You find people angry at God because He's not granting their wishes. You find people mad at God because a loved one died, got sick and died, and God didn't answer the prayer to heal that loved one. You'll find all kinds of flavors out there, misunderstandings about God because of why? There's not a proper understanding of the grace of God. Do you think that Paul properly understood the true grace of God? Let's ask him. Paul, okay, do you understand the grace of God? Paul says, yes, I do. Okay, Paul, explain to us how you understand the grace of God. Well, Paul says, well, first of all, I was going around killing Christians. I mean, that's pretty major, isn't it? He was murdering Christians. And you know, I was walking on the road to Damascus there that day, and so a bright light appeared and I fell to the ground. Oh, Paul, did the Lord ask to come into your heart? Not hardly. Did the Lord ask you to save? Do you want to be saved, Paul? Paul, would you pray this prayer and let me in? Is that what happened? Not hardly. Paul says, let me tell you about the grace of God. I was a dead sinner and I was putting Christians in jail, and the Lord came upon me and His grace penetrated my wicked heart, and there was something in my heart that wasn't there before, and He caused me to cry out, Abba, Father. It was the grace of God that appeared unto him. You think Paul understood grace? You think Paul understood the truth of grace, the gospel of grace? Anybody can use the name grace. Say, well, I believe in grace. I believe in this type of grace, that type of grace. There's only one type of grace in its purest form, and it is found in the mercy of God, how He saved a ruined, wretched sinner like you and like me. You think Paul understood that? I'm telling you, he understood it. What goodness and what worthiness did Paul have to put up before the Lord? What do you think he'd lay on that altar and say, Lord, now, yeah, I want you to save me now, Lord. I've killed enough Christians of your followers. You think that's what he put on the altar to be saved? Or Paul says, you know, I've followed the law all of my life. I've kept it in every way. I've never done this. I've never done that. You think that's what Paul had to put on the altar to be saved? Let me tell you what Paul had to put on the altar to be saved. Nothing. Nothing. Now look. You may have had an experience in your life where you confess the Lord. I pray that you have. And you may have had an experience in your life where you felt the burden of your sins. I want to assure you that it was nothing that you laid on the altar to cause you to feel that. It was what God laid on the altar of the cross and sacrificed for you and for your sins and penetrated your wicked dead heart so that you would feel a burden for your sins. That's grace. That is the greatest gap filler in your life that you will ever find or experience. So what was Paul's response? Paul's got this gap. He's got this space in his life. It's killing him. It's this pointy, difficult, injurious thing that continues to just vex him. And he says, Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. And God says, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I don't like your answer, Lord. I want another answer. I want another shot. I want to try something different. You know what Paul said? He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul's response was, listen, he says, "With pleasure, I will to a much greater degree boast of God whenever I recognize that those things are going to continue to vex me and haunt me and hurt me." That seems difficult in our natural mind to say that, is it not? So picture your thorn in the flesh, or your thorns in the flesh. And I pray to God that, I know I have been, but I don't want to be a thorn in the flesh for somebody else, do you? You know, thorns in the flesh can be people, it can be jobs, it can be organizations, it can be the government, it can be all types of things. I don't want to be a thorn in the flesh for someone else, so let's make that our goal, number one. I don't want to be the messenger of Satan to push the buttons of someone, do you? You say, well, you know, Satan never employed me. He doesn't have to. All he has to do is just suggest. Satan is the prosecutor. Satan is the persecutor of the brethren, you see. That's the way he works. He knows how to push buttons. And sometimes he uses us to push each other's buttons, does he not? So Paul, he doesn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't like your answer." He says, "Most gladly, with pleasure, I will now to a much greater degree boast of God." So here's what I want you to get out of that. When you've got that space there that is created by that thorn in the flesh, the thorns that you're dealing with, something is going to fill that space. Something. Lord, first of all, take it away. Well, when it doesn't go away, what are you going to fill it with? Now, there's many things that the world will offer you to fill those spaces with. Some people will go to the bottle and they'll start filling that space with alcohol. I've got this emptiness. I've got this space within. I can't deal with this. So they'll try to deal with it with alcohol. Some people will go to drugs and they will try to fill it with drugs. Other people will go to things like pornography, or other people will go to relationships to try to fill it. So whenever the bottle, or whenever the drug, or whenever the relationship lets you down, guess what you've got? Same old space. Do you see that? That space is never going away. And if you fill it with something worldly, if you fill it with something that Satan has to offer, then Satan has effectively pushed your button. Satan's pushing your button has become sufficient for you. Oh, child of God, don't fall into that trap. Don't let the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, be sufficient to cause you to seek something ungodly to fill that space with. How many people today are filling the spaces in their life with relationship after relationship after relationship, thinking, well, the next relationship will fill what I'm needing. The next person I meet, or the next time that I date this person, or get married, or whatever the situation may be, that's going to fill my void there. That's going to fill my space. Let me tell you, there's only one thing that will fill the spaces that are created in our lives by the thorn in the flesh, and it is the grace of God. You say, well, that's real trite, Brother Tim. You know, I know the word grace. Do you? The definition of grace is the divine influence on the heart and the reflection of that in our life. The divine influence of God on the heart and the way it is reflected by how we live our lives. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, loving kindness, goodwill, favor? Are you governed by grace, or are you governed by your circumstances? If everything's going your way, then hey, everything's fine. But I have to tell you that I'm practically 7 times out of 10, maybe 9 times out of 10, things don't go our way. We don't get what we want. We don't have the feeling we want. We don't get the desire that we want. So things, most of the time, as Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, most of the time things don't go our way. So that ought to make you thankful for when the occasional time when things do go your way. That ought to make you thankful. But in this life, things don't always go our way. So are you being governed by the grace of God and filling that gap with grace? Are you being governed by your circumstances? Kick from here to there. Kick from pillar to post. Kick to the curb. Because every time you turn around, you're getting slapped in the face. Did you know that's where it says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me? That word buffet means to strike with a fist, to strike with a fist. Every time you turn around, every time you think everything's leveled out, boom, you get smacked in the face again. Boom, something else comes up. Somebody gets sick. Somebody goes down. Somebody doesn't treat you right. Somebody doesn't say something right. All of those are gaps there in your life that if you don't fill it with grace, it's going to be filled with something else. It's going to be filled with anger. It's going to be filled with frustration. It's going to be filled with depression. It's going to be filled with angst. It's going to be filled with malice. Oh, fill it with grace. Pour grace into it. You know why? My grace is sufficient, the Lord says. My grace is sufficient. Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure. Notice he didn't say, I take pleasure because of these things. Oh, I love infirmities. Just bring them on. That's a foolish talk right there. Don't you start praying for infirmities and don't you start praying for reproaches. You don't have to because they're going to come anyway. See, that's nonsense. It makes no sense, and it's not what this is teaching. Paul says that when those things do come, and I am in those things, and I'm engaged in those things, and those things are engaging me, reproaches, he says infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distress, just extreme affliction. He says when I am in those things, he says then that is when I will glory, what? In the Lord. That's what grace does for you. That's how grace should affect us. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I recognize that my want of strength or ability or my inability to take away that sharp, piercing, pointing thing in my life, when I recognize my inability to do that, then instead of griping, instead of getting angry, instead of slamming the door, instead of walking away, instead of saying something ugly, he says, when I recognize my weakness and I can't fix this and I'm hurting because of this, he says, I will boast in the Lord. How about that? There's nothing to boast in that thorn. There's nothing to boast in that thing that won't go away. Just boast in the Lord. I will boast and glory in the God of my salvation while I am bearing the piercing effect of that thorn. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. He didn't say then is God strong. Did you notice that? He says, when I am weak, because I am boasting in the glorious grace of God that is sufficient to spare me from a burning hell and lift me to a glorious heaven, and he died on the cross for my sins, because I am boasting in that, I am then strong. That's the opposite of the way the world thinks, isn't it? I'm strong because I'm boasting in God. I'm not pouring some drug or alcohol or some pill or some pornography or some relationship or just fill in the blank, because those are all buttons that everybody has that can be pushed by Satan. I will fill that space with the grace of God. So, do you have any space for grace in your life? Do you have any thorns that are pressing you, pushing you? Won't go away? Are you angry at God because he hadn't taken them away? Then read what Paul said. God's grace is sufficient for you to deal with those thorns. And it doesn't mean just go home and twiddle your thumbs. It means to pour grace in that space. That's not magic. It's not some kind of miracle. What it is you recognize the source of grace. And it is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is told about in the Word of God because it's His Word. And you experience in the church of God. And you experience in the songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You experience it in the study of God's Word. Pour grace into that gap. That's where the grace is sufficient. Are you praying in your prayers for performance? Which is fine. Say, Lord, take this away. Lord, help me deal with this. But you need to be praying for grace. Because whether it goes away or not, grace will always be there. A few years ago, believe it or not, don't ever think that the preacher's a cut above or something like that. That's just nonsense. I tell you, I see the preacher myself as a cut below. But we all have disagreements. We all have difficulties. And a few years ago, Sister Tracy and I, believe it or not, there's occasional, we'll have a disagreement about something. I know y'all can't believe that, but it's true. So we had a disagreement about something, and we were lying there in bed one night. You know, she's on one side of the bed, and I'm over here. I'm stating my case, and she's stating her correct and right case. And I'm over here stating my wrong case. And so we just hit a dead end, and everything's quiet. And then it picks back up again. I don't think this. Well, I think this, or whatever. We couldn't get anywhere, and it was just building and building. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It was just building. And, you know, the Lord suffers fools, you know, sometimes like me. We have these little recess lights, just like these right here up above, a recess light above our bed. Sister Tracy was laying right under that recess light. And I began to notice a little shadow up there at the recess light. We're just laying there. We've reached an end to our agreed upon disagreement. So, you know, it's kind of cold in there, you know. And about that time, a cricket fell from the recess light and almost landed on Sister Tracy. And she jumped up and screamed. And I jumped up. What in the world? You know, never seen a cricket in there. I've never seen a cricket like that around our house before. And so we looked at that cricket and looked up there. And here we go. You know, I cannot tell you I could not tell you what we were disagreeing about. But I remember that cricket. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let God have to send you a cricket, you know, to break up your gap or your space. He's got something much better than a cricket. I was thinking, you know, about the plague of locusts or a plague of crickets. Well, it took a plague of one cricket, you know, to break up that little disagreement there. And we think back on that and laugh about that a lot of times. I want to tell you, God has got grace that is sufficient for you to deal with whatever situation you've got in your life. Anything that is pressing you, anything that you are filling with something else, God's grace is sufficient. If you don't believe me, just try it. Peter didn't believe that he was really going to draw up a great host of fishes when Jesus said, launch out into the deep. He said, I don't believe it, Lord, but I'll do it because you said so. Just do it because the Word of God says so. You don't have to fully believe it. You hear me? You listen to me carefully, because this idea of I'm super Christian and I believe everything God's Word says, that's not what the Word of God teaches. Peter himself did not believe that it was going to work. So you don't have to fully believe that it's going to work. Just believe that what he said is right. That's what you need to believe. And just do it. Fill it. Fill that gap with the grace of God. The song that Elder Bryce Lawrence wrote, the chorus says this: Oh, may the power of Christ rest upon me. Through trial and pain may I thy glory see. I sought the Lord and heard these words of mercy. My grace sufficient is for thee. Understanding the true grace of God and how it applies to your life and to your gaps and to your spaces in your life will show you that God's grace is sufficient.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.